Atlantis?
Good evening, sir. Atlantis is here standing by. How are things in Washington?
First, I'll stop spending $9 billion a month in Iraq. I'm the only major candidate who opposed this war from the beginning. And as president, I will end it. Second, I will cut tens of billions of dollars in wasteful spending. I will cut investments in unproven missile defense systems. I will not weaponize space. I will slow our development of future combat systems. And I will institute an independent defense priorities board to ensure that the quadrennial defense review is not used to justify unnecessary spending. Third, I will set a goal of a world without nuclear weapons. To seek that goal, I will not develop new nuclear weapons. I will seek a global ban on the production of fissile material, and I will negotiate with Russia to take our ICBMs off hair trigger alert and to achieve deep cuts in our nuclear arsenals. You know where I stand. I've fought for open, ethical, and accountable government my entire public life. I don't switch positions or make promises that can't be kept. I don't posture on defense policy. And I don't take money from federal lobbyists for powerful defense contractors. As president, my sole priority for defense spending will be protecting the American people. Thanks so much.
Contrary to the rumors that you've heard, I was not born in a manger. I was actually born on Krypton and sent here by my father, Jor-El, to save the planet Earth.
Congressman Kucinich, I want to move to a different area because this is a serious question. The godmother of your daughter, Shirley MacLaine, writes in her new book that you sighted a UFO over her home in Washington State, that you found the encounter extremely moving, that it was a triangular craft, silent and hovering, that you felt a connection to your heart and heard directions in your mind. Now, did you see a UFO?
I did, and the rest of the account. It was unidentified flying object. Okay, it's unidentified. I saw something. Now, to answer your question, I'm moving my. I'm also going to move my campaign office to Roswell, New Mexico, and another one in Exeter, New Hampshire. Okay, and also you have to keep in mind that Jimmy Carter saw a UFO. And also that more people in this country have seen UFOs and I think approve of George Bush's presidency.
Actually,
we're just getting started here.
We have about 14% of Americans say they have seen UFOs. I'm going to move past.
What was the percentage?
14%.
What was that percentage?
14.
Thank you.
I'm going to ask Senator Obama a question in the same line. The three astronauts of Apollo 11 who went to the moon back in 1969 all said that they believe there is life beyond Earth. Do you agree?
You know, I don't know, and I don't presume to know. What I know is there is life here on Earth, and that we're not attending to life here on Earth. We're not taking care of kids who are alive and unfortunately are not getting health care. We're not taking care of senior citizens who are alive and are seeing their heating prices go up. So as president, those are the people I will be attending to first. There may be some other folks on their way.
Quite Symington is now a businessman. The Republican governor of Arizona for 6 years, elected when the first George Bush was president. Now, a decade after leaving the State House, he takes you up to Hicks Park and discloses something unlike anything uttered by any other high-level U.S. politician.
If you had been here 10 years ago and standing out here and looking up there at the lights and the view, you would have been astounded. You would have been amazed.
Governor Symington is referring to what is now known as the Phoenix Lights, an object videotaped by many and seen by thousands over several nights in the Arizona sky in 1997.
Major sighting here.
It was described by witnesses as larger than a football field and
silent.
It was a giant V, all right? And the right side of the V went over us. The left side was like a couple blocks over.
I just didn't know what to do. You know, it was just like, my God, how big is this thing?
The great state of Arizona, Fife Symington.
The former governor, a Vietnam Air Force veteran, had never publicly acknowledged seeing it until now.
And I suspect that unless the Defense Department proves us otherwise, that it was probably some form of an alien spacecraft.
So why didn't he say anything then? Partly, he says, because he didn't want people to panic.
I think as a public figure, you have to be very careful about what you say, because people can have pretty emotional reactions. My goal wasn't to try to stir the pot.
And he went to humorous and controversial lengths not to stir the pot. He held a news conference after the Phoenix Lights to announce the mystery had been solved.
And now I'll ask Officer Stein and his colleagues to escort the accused into the room so that we may all look upon the guilty party. Don't get him too close to me, please.
In the alien costume, the governor's chief of staff.
Now, this just goes to show that you guys are entirely too serious.
UFO enthusiasts were not immune, especially since the governor was believed to have seen nothing. But now he's coming out.
The lights were really brilliant, and it was just fascinating. I mean, it was enormous. It just felt otherworldly. You know, in your gut, you could just tell it was otherworldly.
Symington will be talking about this in an updated film about UFOs called Out of the Blue. He has also talked with an organization that wants UFO information more out in the open.
It's very significant that someone of the stature of a governor would come out and say that they acknowledge that they experienced a UFO, because it brings a lot of credibility and strength to the case.
Governor Symington says he did tell his family, friends, and staff about what he saw early on.
I still, behind the scenes, tried to investigate it, but I got nowhere.
So what were the Phoenix Lights? Well, frankly, we don't know. What we do know is that it's as much of a mystery today as it was a decade ago.
You know, we should have replaced the news music with the X-Files theme.
Yes, that would have been very apropos.
Because viewers from all over our region called in 69 News Tonight reporting a strange sight in the sky.
A lot of calls from Allentown and Bethlehem all the way to Berks County. Everyone calling in describing the same thing. So WFMC's Stephanie Esposito joins us live now in Bethlehem Township with more on the details of that story. Stephanie.
Hi, John and Karen. Well, at first we thought it was a joke, but so many people described it the same way. Many of them believed that what they saw tonight in the skies was a UFO.
We were just walking, talking, that sort of thing, and I kind of like looked up in the sky. There was like a big white, like an orb, almost like a tiny planet, and all of a sudden this big ray came out of it, like it was all white.
And all of a sudden there was a beam that came down from it. It was white and bluish, and then all of a sudden it just, like the sky sucked it up and the sky just closed.
Reports from Bethlehem to Berks County.
All I keep thinking of the movie E.T.
Something unusual took place in the sky tonight.
I would never have had time to take a picture of it. It was just so...
It disappeared.
The sky ate it.
So far, 69 News has not been able to obtain a picture, but we did get multiple witness reports. We've contacted the Lehigh Valley Airport and local communication centers. Everyone said nothing was happening.
Now, a lot of times people will hear things like this and they'll say, oh, it was a weather balloon or it was a shooting star. Is there any other explanation?
No, that was not a shooting star and it was not a weather balloon.
One thing is for sure, tonight people are asking themselves, do I believe?
I don't know if I believe in that kind of thing.
Now, some people have pointed out that it's a strange coincidence. Today's date is actually 9/19/09. If you want to put any weight on that. But regardless of what people believe, a lot of people are asking themselves tonight, what was that up there? And they really are just saying everyone agrees they've never seen anything like it before.
On September 19th, the Charged Aerosol Release Experiment was conducted by the Naval Research Laboratory and the Department of Defense Space Test Program using a NASA four-stage Black Brant 12 suborbital sounding rocket. Using ground-based instruments in the space satellites, scientists will study an artificial noctilucent cloud formed by the exhaust particles of the rocket's fourth stage at about 173 miles at altitude. CARE will release its aluminum oxide dust particles a bit higher than that, then let them settle back down to a lower altitude. What the CARE experiment hopes to do is to create an artificial dust layer, says Professor Scales. Hopefully, its creation, in a controlled sense, will allow scientists to study different aspects of noctilucent clouds, the turbulence generated on the inside, the distribution of dust particles, and such. The U.S. Navy, NASA, and the U.S. Defense Department have made a decision to conduct one or more atmospheric tests in order to create an aluminum oxide dust cloud without the permission and, for the most part, the knowledge of the citizens of the United States. These aluminum oxide particles will eventually return to Earth, polluting our air, water, and soils. The tests may damage the various atmospheric boundaries that protect life on Earth. No one has any idea what damage this dust cloud and the testing of this dust cloud may do to our climate, agriculture, human health, or amount of infrared and UV radiation reaching Earth. Now, it's very curious to me that they would not at all mention this in the news beforehand. And as far as we are seeing in this coming up alien invasion part of our story, we're starting to see it come to the forefront. Absolutely, as you hear Obama clearly stating that he doesn't want to speak about UFOs, Dennis Kucinich being laughed at for mentioning a large triangular craft that he viewed, or Fife Symington coming forth after ridiculing everyone for asking questions about the Phoenix Lights, dressing up his aide as a gray alien, and laughing the people off stage, then comes out and says, well, had you seen it, you would have known it was an otherworldly alien spacecraft. This is all part of the program. This is what's going on, and this is how it's going. So as we watch, as the space war continues, as things begin to build and we move from the threat of asteroids to the threat of alien invasion, we start to see what could be test runs of Project Bluebeam. Now, certainly just recently over Russia, we had a large oval-looking cloud, kind of hard to describe over radio. You can check it out, the large oval cloud over Russia, seeming like a UFO, and very much like this Cloud of CARE program. Now, perhaps the Cloud of CARE had managed to make its way over to Russia, and then now is being used with other technologies like ionospheric heaters to then generate what might look like a UFO. Certainly, these Denzians of the East Coast that were so shocked by the Cloud of CARE, which they knew nothing about, thought UFOs, thought alien invasion. And it seems to me that this is the program they're trying to ensue. This is what they are trying to put into our heads. And that is why no one knew about the Cloud of CARE. No one knew about the bombing of the moon, which of course was not technically a bombing, but that's how they promoted it, was it not? NASA to bomb the moon? What we have now with the bombing of the moon was that the American public was not at all informed on this topic. Of course, we've been covering it since June, and definitely covering the Cloud of CARE weeks before its launch. I covered it live on the Free Zone on Oracle Broadcasting that Saturday night on the 19th when it was launched. And I've also been covering all of this other space war news, which you can find at freemantv.com. Just go to Freeman's blog and scroll down to Space War News on the right-hand side, and you're going to see some things that aren't getting a whole lot of promotion on regular news. Now, with the bombing of the moon, there was no doubt about it that it was broadcast all over the world. It was major news in every other nation other than America. If you were to sign on to CNN to watch the bombing of the moon, you were not going to see it. What you saw was Obama receiving the Nobel Peace Prize for extraordinary efforts. Seems that he doesn't really have to do anything. He just has to think about it. and maybe get something done. So they give him the Nobel Peace Prize while he is accepting the nomination for the chair for the UN Security Council. So now we have a whole new spectrum to our reality. Because as we're moving into this new global oligarchy, which is absolutely coming together with Hillary standing before the UN Security Council and saying,
I resume now my function as president of the council. I kind of like being a president, so I... this may go on a little longer than anticipated.
We can expect things to start stirring up within the UN. Now, as we start looking into the UN and all of the ideas that have been brought forth, we've got many outer space treaties that we have currently violated. We can definitely look into different aspects of the UN's agencies. Now, they have the UN Outer Space Treaty, which the U.S. has ratified, and requires that the moon and other celestial bodies shall be used by all states, parties to the treaty, exclusively for peaceful purposes. The establishment of military bases, installations and fortifications, the testing of any type of weapons, and the conduct of military maneuvers on celestial bodies shall be forbidden. 98 nations have ratified and 125 nations have signed the UN Outer Space Treaty. Now, this includes America. So what did we do when we bombed the moon? Of course, it seemed to be quite a dud, a $79 million dud. But was it? Was this its intention? Was its intention to discover water? Now, when we start looking into the aspects of whether or not we are looking for water, of course, we come to very quickly the Chandrayaan experiment that went with the India finding water on the moon. And all of the information that they had brought forth, leaving even Obama to come out and give a speech on this very topic, where Obama states that with India's launch of its first unmanned lunar spacecraft, following closely on the heels of China's first spacewalk, we are reminded just how urgently the United States must revitalize its space program if we are to remain the undisputed leader in space, science, and technology. Obama goes on to say that his comprehensive plan to revitalize the space program and close the gap between the space shuttle's retirement and its next generation replacement includes $2 billion more for NASA. But more money alone is not enough. We must not only retain our space workforce so that we don't let other countries surpass our technical capabilities, we must train new scientists and engineers for the next generation. Obama's comprehensive space policy focuses on reaching new frontiers through human space exploration. So as we start to move into this space race with the world, we start to do things that are very curious and might not make any sense when looked at from a straightforward line of attack. Because what we are looking at is the movement towards a global oligarchy, which is going to be brought about through a number of events. Today, of course, being 10/13, and this being my third annual 10/13 report, things are going to start to turn. There's no doubt about it, but they're going to go beyond what everyone's expectations are. As we are standing right now, everyone was thinking there was going to be some sort of nuclear explosion in Washington, D.C., either the 11th or today, and I don't feel that coming. I don't think that's a necessary blow. I said so on Jack Blood's Deadline Live on 999, and I still stand by it. This just doesn't seem to be the mentality they want from us. You see, next is alien invasion. It has to be, as Ronald Reagan said, an outside force that would bring us all together in unity. So it's not going to be another nation. It's not going to be a situation that seems quite standard operating procedures as far as global takeovers go. This one is going to be out of this world. And I've been trying to cover this for quite some time on my show. And this, along with the human cloning aspect of the whole thing, because Really, when we have Ra'el, who claims to be the ambassador of our extraterrestrial gods, the Elohim, who use a swastika and a Star of David as their sign on their spacecraft, comes before Congress wearing a puffy... Now, this is Ra'el, also known as Claude Virilion, who is wearing a puffy white spacesuit with his Star of David and swastika gold around his neck, and then goes before Congress speaking about human cloning. Of course everyone's going to laugh that off the stage. And then you've got Bridget Bousselet from Clone Aid and Dr. Savros, and they're all standing before Congress saying, well, hey, you know what? We're going to do it anyway. And then they announce the birth of Eve, their first human clone. They have gone on to announce at least a dozen more human clones that they have created, but no one believes them. Of course they don't, because they're in big white puffy spacesuits and doing spreads in Playboy. Now, it's the same with this UFO story. As you listen to that interview with Dennis Kucinich at the Democratic National Convention, and the orator asks him point blank, did you see a UFO? Now, listen to the audience. You can hear them all laughing. Now, Dennis Kucinich is trying to make a point here. He's trying to say, look, it's a UFO, an unidentified flying object, and the fact that you're all laughing at me, you know, is what he probably should have said, shows that your incredulous nature is going to allow for this type of dictatorship to ensue. Because if we're not willing to investigate, then we're not willing to find out what the true spectrum of our reality is. And really, we've gotten to the point now where we need to start investigating time-traveling Nazis. I'm sorry, but that's where we're at. And when you start to look at this picture now, of course, myself have seen a large V-shaped craft. I tried to film it. Nothing digs into my soul harder than the fact that I did not get that on film. But yet, there it was. I witnessed it. My friends witnessed it. We all watched it happen, and you can see our reaction to it. Unfortunately, you can't see the craft. Kills me. Anyway, so when I saw that craft, much like, we have Fife Symington reporting saying it was out of this world, and it was... otherworldly and or alien craft, but Kucinich then with Shirley MacLaine's report saying that it touched his soul and that he heard that this was from another land, another world. I didn't have that reaction. When I saw this large V-shaped craft, immediately it seemed to me to be Department of Defense. Now, that was another thing Fife Symington came out and said, well, unless the Department of Defense tells us otherwise, I'm going to think it's an alien craft. Well, of course, they're not going to tell us about this spectrum, and they're not going to tell us that they have large V-shaped craft with anti-gravity propulsion. They did come out and tell us about the gravity tractor, which then should start to give you a bit of a knowledge of the fact that we do have anti-gravity or gravity abilities. So, you know, we need to start to open our spectrums and realize that the world is not as it is being presented to us over and over again, that there is more going on, and that when they start to play upon these UFO stories as they are doing now, that this is getting you ready for the next phase. This is the next step in the programming. So on that note, they have now degraded Apophis down from their initial report saying that Apophis might strike the planet. Now, personally, from looking at it, I knew that they had not said that Apophis might strike the planet, but I thought it truly curious that they would then just highlight Apophis. I mean, there was Juno. Why not asteroid Juno? But no, they selected Apophis to bring out and bring to the attention the idea of killer asteroids. So Apophis captured the public's interest since its discovery in 2004, but the updated computational techniques and newly available data indicate the probability of an Earth encounter on Friday, April 13th, 2029. But it has dropped from 1 to 45,000 to about 4 in 1 million. Now, the curious part is that Apophis will be coming by, and on Friday, April 13th, 2029, it will come as close as 18,300 miles above the Earth's surface. Now, I wonder who's going to be paying attention and how many people are going to think this is an alien invasion when it comes by. Now, obviously, this is 20 years in the future, so who knows where this will go. But the curious note was that they did select to promote Apophis at a time when we were beginning to discover that the president might be a clone of Akhenaten. And not just Obama, but the entire family. Akhenaten, Queen T, and his two daughters. So we see how they are playing upon our incredulous nature. They put Ra'el before Congress to speak about human cloning. No one's going to take that serious. Then Obama comes out and says human cloning is profoundly wrong and should not be practiced in any society. But I'm going to then loosen the restrictions on federal funding to clone and kill technologies. Now, what he had said was that human cloning for reproduction was profoundly wrong. He did not say human cloning for experimentation was profoundly wrong. He definitely selected reproductive properties of human cloning and not experimental. Now, you know if the president's coming out and speaking out about such things that this has been something that's been going on for quite some time. And if you believe many of the reports that I've had and covered and been with Dr. Deagle and Daniel, or Dr. A. Truott, and the idea that, you know, the Nazis were cloning back in the early 30s. So, this is where we're at. So now we've got the same spectrum with UFOs and the idea of the incoming alien invasion, the bombing of the moon. What was its purpose? What was the purpose of bombing the moon? Now, as we start to look into these later reports, these that have just been released, we get NASA smacked two aircraft or spacecraft into the lunar South Pole Friday morning in search for hidden ice. Instruments confirm that a large empty rocket hull barreled into the moon at 7:31 a.m., followed by 4 minutes later by a probe with cameras taking pictures of the first crash. Now, of course, the cameras had the gain misset, and so what we got were fuzzy pictures there on the La Crosse satellite. Now, as I got up that morning, and my friends came over and got up that morning, and we all watched this anticlimactic event, we didn't know what to think, because certainly what seemed to happen was nothing. And NASA scientists were coming out and saying, well, possibly we hit the side of the crater, and therefore the plume did not go in the direction we had anticipated. And so as we looked at this, and it was very curious because just before the crash, we're all watching, and all of a sudden they switch cameras, they go to a white screen, they go to the blue infrared, right at the second that, you know, it was the moment that we were supposed to watch all of this happen. And of course, we saw nothing. So as we start to look into this picture now, the crash was supposed to hit with the force of 1.5 tons of TNT into the crater Cabeus and create a mini crater about half the size of an Olympic pool. The second crash was to be about one-third that strong. The idea, of course, they say, was to confirm the theory that water, a key resource if people are going back to the moon, is hidden below the barren moonscape. Now, at the same time, we have NASA saying they can't afford to go back to the moon. So where is the truth in this story? NASA is saying that not only can they not afford to go back to the moon, they cannot keep up with the killer asteroids. And so they are then again asking for another, let's see, was it $30 billion to keep up with the killer asteroids? Billions upon billions of dollars being asked by NASA for these jobs. And of course, the overall outcome is to turn NASA over to the DOD to become a space warfare program, even though Obama is trying to tell us, no, I won't weaponize space. But what is crashing a rocket into the moon? What is the idea of a kinetic weapon hitting the moon? Well, now when we start to look into this picture, we start to realize that there is quite more going on. And I have my own theories, of course. When the Apollo lander launched from the moon, they dropped back down the launch vehicle and allowed this to crash into the moon, which resulted in the moon ringing out like a gong. They tried this again with the Apollo 17 prospect and dropped a larger rocket stage onto the moon from a higher altitude, causing the moon to ring out like a gong for 2 hours. Now consider this. With all the anomalies of our moon, with the many, many different ideas that show that the moon is much older than Earth, did not come from Earth's oceans, has different particles on top, the rocks, the sand are of different compositions, things that make no sense, the idea that it orbits in a circle, one of the few and maybe only objects in outer space orbiting in a circle, that it's so precisely positioned that it causes complete solar eclipses, or the fact that it rings out like a gong. Of course, there was the report that in 1971 that there was a large water vapor cloud that covered that moved across the moon for 14 hours, and this was recorded. So are we looking for water? When we look at the idea that the Chandrayaan-1 was already reporting water on the moon, when we look at the fact that the Japanese Selena probe had already crashed into the moon, that was June 10th. I mean, that was 8 days before the launching of the Atlas rocket to bring the La Crosse, the LRO, and the Centaur rocket stage to the moon. Japan's crashing their probe into the moon. What's going on? Well, have you seen Jurassic Park? I'm sure many of you have. And in the earlier scenes of the movie, they are showing how they're finding dinosaur bones under the ground using sounding technology by pounding the ground very hard and then receiving the data through what is known as computer tomography. Now, HARP is completely able to do computer tomography. You know, it was computer tomography that allowed Zahi Hawass to find King Tut's penis. Just a little side note there. But what if this rocket crashing into the south pole of the moon was there to make the moon ring out, just like on Jurassic Park, so that then they can get a clear map of the internal structures of the moon? Doesn't this make much more sense than trying to find water after it's already been discovered, or to see what the weatherization of a crater might do after impact when Japan has already done this? What if there is life inside the moon? What if they are preparing this space war, a war with a invading alien race? And they need to know the structure inside the moon. Well, crashing a 2-ton kinetic weapon straight into the moon would give you this information, and it would also bring about the whole UN spectrum. Because I have a feeling that the next thing to come is the UN standing up saying, America can't bomb the moon, and we've got a few more charges we'd like to hold against you, such as 9/11 truth. Now, many of the patriots and people that are somewhat awake and aware to the situation are very excited about 80% of the population on CNN's reports believing 9/11 was an inside job. They think this is their victory cry. They think that they have now made an impact and they are changing the world, but this is not the case. And I'll tell you, I have not changed my tune one bit on this. 9/11 was meant to be obvious. There were supposed to be all of you that knew this was an inside job. There are supposed to be a number of you understanding how this all went down, making your movies, promoting it to the world. But let's just have a look. Now, as this 9/11 truth movement starts to come to light, and as the UN starts to take George W. Bush on for his war crimes, Now, if you've listened to me long enough, you know darn well that I believe from Clinton to Obama is nothing but one campaign to get to a global oligarchy. This has been the idea of the road to World War III. Bring down the man, force in the man, bring in an unconstitutional president. Very simply, it is a program. But as we start to look at the 9/11 truth statement signers, it becomes a bit more curious. As we have Richard Heinberg, author of The Party's Over, and he is from the New College of California, a peak oil promoter and population reduction advocate, who sits on the 9/11 truth committee. We have Abernathy, also on the truth statement, is the author of Population Politics, and up to her ears in connections to pro-eugenics and population reduction organizations, especially with those with a racist or anti-immigrant bent, including Carrying Capacity Network, Population Environment Balance, Pro-Eugenics Journal Occidental Quarterly. She is also the immigration group funded by the notorious Pioneer Fund. Heinberg's other endorser, David Pimentel, is a Cornell University professor and influential population reduction advocate. Mike Rupert, peak oil, population reduction. Charles Galton Darwin, founding member of the viciously racist journal Mankind Quarterly, which was financially supported by Pioneer Fund. Rachel Ehrenfeld, PhD, director of American Center for Democracy, author of Funding Evil, by far the most bizarre name to find petitioning the 9/11 truth. Ehrenfeld is a member of the ultra-hawkish neocon think tank Committee on the Present Danger, whose honorary chair is George Shultz. And the list goes on and on. Richard Falk, New World Order Models Project, CFR member, and eugenicist. John Resenbrink, Bowdoin College, co-founder of the U.S. Green Party, a planetary government for planet's ills, yes. And we go on. Rosemary Radford Reuther, who did her postgraduate studies at Claremont, promoting her views on population reduction. John Cobb, PhD, theologian, co-author for The Common Good, frequent collaborator with David Ray Griffin, and also Club of Rome member. Okay, so if we start to get this spectrum, and I could go on with this list, now this is the 9/11 Truth Committee. Eugenicists. And I could go on with this list. The Club of Rome had started promoting and projecting this thought into our heads so many years ago, I don't remember when Limits to Growth came out, but absolutely I was required to read such a thing in college, and it showed very clearly how the planet was overpopulated. And this is simply not the case, but they want us all to believe it. So the slow indoctrination belief system into this overpopulation, the increasement of scarcity on the planet, the increasement of global weather anomalies that are taking out, well, hell, right now, I think in Nebraska, you can hardly find a pumpkin because the weather has gone so strange. The plants don't know what to do. The birds don't know what to do. The bees are disappearing. All of this having to do with these technologies able to manipulate the weather, which may explain that strange ring of clouds that was just witnessed over Russia. So this next step in the program is to bring about this whole idea of America being a tyrant, all of us being a bunch of perverted brats as we have been programmed to be, and they have scheduled us, if you just look into your video games, your videos, your music videos, or even the news, we are being conditioned to be this violent, perverted, attacking force. And we are all standing back with our guns ready to go. And this is just not going to solve our issues whatsoever. So it's my belief that the La Crosse mission was there to do a bit of a sounding, do a bit of the ability to get computer tomography so that we can see the inside of the moon. And I don't know whether to believe it or not, but you can go to my youtube.com/FreemanTV. Watch the interview I did with Stuart Swerdlow, or go to FreemanTV.com and watch the whole hour. But what he tells me is that, of course, as many understand it, there already is an alien force in charge of the world. And obviously Ronald Reagan seemed to think this, and he blamed that alien force on war. So Stuart Swerdlow goes on to tell me how this is a mock invasion by an alien force that's already in charge of planet Earth. The ideas of the moon base and moon bases on the dark side of the moon cannot be discounted. And of course, I've covered Walt Disney's launch simulator there at the mission to Mars. That definitely shows a base on the dark side of the moon. So very curious stuff going on indeed, and one of the most curious stories, if I can just jump around here a little bit, was of course the CERN scientist admitting his allegiance to Al-Qaeda. Now at first I got the story about them charging a CERN scientist as being a part of Al-Qaeda, and now I have found another report that just came out showing that he admits his connections to Al-Qaeda. So let's just have a look at this. Now, CERN, of course, is the Large Hadron Collider in Switzerland. That is to create a black hole. And some thought this was a very bad idea at the time, talking about strangelets or the possibility of rogue black holes just taking off. But the 32-year-old nuclear physicist, part of the Large Hadron Collider. Now, here's another curious connection. Now, the Large Hadron Colliders at CERN, now CERN's corporate logo is 666 with a hyperdimensional portal, and the name of their colliders are Atlas and Alice. Now, it was the Atlas rocket that launched the La Crosse satellite, which was carrying the Alice spectrometer on board. Do we start to see the connections? But it is said that this 32-year-old nuclear physicist has been arrested by French police on suspicions of involvement with Al-Qaeda. According to The Independent, the arrest was made after anti-terrorist police had followed his movements for more than a year. An Italian newspaper suggests that the man's name had originally come to light in connection with the Afghan network of terrorist groups based in Europe. Now, let me see, I have another report here where he is admitting. Let me look this up. Okay, so this one is from The Independent, or The Guardian, in the UK. CERN physicist admits links with Al-Qaeda. Frenchman of Algerian origin corresponded online with a contact in North Africa's Al-Qaeda branch. The French physicist, arrested last week while working at the world's largest atom smasher, has told investigators he corresponded over the internet with a contact in North Africa's Al-Qaeda branch, a judicial official said today. The exchange vaguely discussed plans for terror attacks, but nothing concrete was planned, the French official said, speaking on condition that his name not be used because the investigation is ongoing. The 32-year-old Frenchman of Algerian origin was one of more than 7,000 scientists working on the Large Hadron Collider. He and his brother were taken into custody Thursday in a southeastern French city of Vienne. The brother was released from custody on Saturday. The physicist was still being held in the Paris area on Sunday, with no charges filed against him. Under French law, terror suspects can be held without charges for up to 4 days. U.S. monitors picked up the exchange between the scientist and his contact in the militant group known as Al-Qaeda in the Islamic Maghreb. The North African group regularly targets governments and security forces in Algeria and occasionally attacks foreigners. At work, the physicist had no contact with anything that could be used for terrorism, the European Organization for Nuclear Research has said. He worked on one of the series of research projects along the 17-mile circular tunnel under the French-Swiss border. Now, this really gets crazy, because The ministry spokesman said, "Our investigation showed without doubt that there were targets in France and elsewhere and indicated that we have perhaps avoided the worst." So here is a CERN scientist working with Al-Qaeda. And CERN is set to relaunch in November. How is this all going to play out, we wonder? So the collider gets the safe to start in November. After a year of setbacks, CERN plans to restart the Large Hadron Collider in November at a tempo that won't overtax the machinery behind the giant particle physics experiment. The collider, located deep underground on the border between France and Switzerland, will start out running at an energy level of 3.5 trillion electron volts per beam, about half the energy that CERN expects eventually. The physicists will inject and capture high-energy beams running in each direction on the circular collider's 17-mile circumference, log data over a number of weeks, and simply get themselves up to speed on the systems. Now, when we talk about CERN, we must always remember the grid. Now, people think the World Wide Web 2 would be the grid. This is not the case, okay? The grid is its own separate component being used for research. 200,000 interconnected computers using direct fiber optic lines creates the grid. Now, the grid, this mega supercomputer, is able to do many things like generate holograms, create simulation worlds using all of your Facebook and MySpace data, and any of your banking and whatever else, and use all of this to create a projection of what we would do in this scenario or that. So when we speak of CERN, we must always remember the grid, because they are going hand in hand, and of course CERN is the one that created the World Wide Web in the first place. So this World Wide Web 2 and the grid, as far as I understand it, are completely separate things, and the World Wide Web 2 is there more to bring about control of information over the web. I don't expect the public to get access to the grid anytime soon. So let's not forget what's going on. And being on that same note, as long as we're covering the space war news, we might as well cover the idea that the first European commander has now taken over the International Space Station. Now, all of the past commanders have been either Russian or American, but this morning, Frank DeWin will be the first European commander of the International Space Station. And that was, of course, my only 1013 highlight for today, is Frank DeWin's movement to Commander-in-Chief of the International Space Station. Now, the space station is another curious factor, and of course we had Guy de Liliberté going up there from Cirque du Soleil, and of course that's Circus of the Sun, and I don't know, you know, maybe all these symbols just rattle together, maybe it's all coincidence that, no, it's just not. Okay, so we got the Circus of the Sun clown up in the ISS. He has now landed in Kazakhstan after paying $35 million to the Russian government to put him up on the ISS, when America is busy wasting $79 million to crash a giant thud into the moon. What's going on, right? Well, why couldn't we have counterbalanced our budget by launching clowns into space? That's what I'm saying. Well, let's take up a little music and take a little break, and I'll be back in just a second.
We're gonna spread happiness. We're gonna spread freedom. Obama's gonna change it. Obama's gonna lead. We're gonna change it.
Yes, we can.
And rearrange it.
Excuse me.
We're gonna change the world.
You say.
Yes, we can.
Yes, we can.
Yes, we can.
Yes, we can.
Yes, we can. Yes, we can.
Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir.
Holy Quran teaches that whoever kills an innocent is as if he has killed all mankind.
We're gonna spread happiness. We're gonna spread freedom.
I was
actually
born
change it.
On
Obama's
Krypton.
Gonna lead 'em. We're gonna change it and rearrange it.
I'm a Christian.
My Muslim faith.
We're gonna change the world.
Yes, we can. Thank you, sir.
Obama is a radical communist. The man is an abomination. So I'm not even sure he's president of the United States. No, that's not a laughing matter. Who is not qualified under the Constitution. We're in the midst of the greatest crisis this nation has ever seen.
The formulation of the Soviet plans for conquering the moon started January 1958 with a letter to the Central Committee of the Communist Party of the Soviet Union. In this letter, two main points for the lunar program were spelled out: lunar impact and a flight around the moon to image its far side. This program was approved by the First Party Secretary N.S. Khrushchev, who took interest in the political aspect of space exploration and the implementation that could be initiated. The first proposal for the program formed the basis for further work. The first project received the designation of E-1 and had the purpose of hitting the moon. The second and third projects, called E-2 and E-3, entailed a lunar fly-around to take pictures of the far side, and was intended to reach the moon and blow up a nuclear charge on its surface. So we see that this has been an aspect of space war, of space dominance, since day one. Now, as we start to look into this, and we find that we are doing the exact same thing, of course, the LaCrosse, the Centaur, and the LRO are exactly the same program. As we start to look deeper into the story, we find, I can't find my notes. We find the ideas being brought forth through Space Command and their rapid space dominance, and their idea of U.S. Space Command's vision of dominating the space dimension of military operations to protect U.S. interests and investments. Okay, that's not you. That is full spectrum dominance of space by Space Command, and that is their vision for 2020. To control space is the ability to assure access to space, freedom of operations within the space medium, and an ability to deny others the use of space, which is exactly what a moon base would do. So the present and potential technologies available for space combat, space war, are 1. Electromagnetic and radiation weapons. So we're looking at things like the High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program, the ionospheric heaters. Now another part, number 2, would be the kinetic energy and hypervelocity weapons, and that is exactly what the Centaur was. Then we have laser weapons, which of course we have seen tested, particle beam weapons, which may have been used in the 9/11 explosives, explosive proximity weapons, and soft kill weapons. Now there is laws to these type of space war, and scholars have advanced numerous reasons for maintaining an international law of armed conflict in space. The creation of rules for war, apparently the ultimate breakdown in order, seems ironic at best. Yet, although war is a breakdown with respect to peaceful dispute resolution, it becomes the ultimate breakdown only if allowed by its participants. That's you and me. The idea of the wars being brought about are shown again and again to be brotherhood manipulation, the use of predictive programming, the use of social engineering to bring about this global holy brotherhood oligarchy, a priestcraft ruling planet Earth. A priestcraft that seemed to have their roots in extraterrestrial politics, a priestcraft that has been around since Egypt or before. As we start to understand and contemplate our world, we start to realize the further we go forward, the more we can look back. The understandings that we glean today can then be applied to the statements of ancient patriarchs and ancient civilizations that tell us of tales that seem to be out of this world. And of course, much like the tale of King Gilgamesh in Ur, very much sounds like he's trying to get into a spaceport. And this was the first novel ever written. When we start to apply what we understand today to what we understand from our ancient past, we might be able to discern what's going on today. It is difficult. It is a curious path. It is one that I really, truly enjoy uncovering and have a good time bringing to you here on Radio Freeman on revereradio.net. I am going to continue to look at this aspect, and of course I come at it from a conspiratorial tone. There's no doubt about it. I do not believe in politics. I do not believe anything happens by chance. I think that everything is a setup, and that is just the way I look at it. And for some reason, I continued to make proper predictions, so obviously I must be on to something. Now, I have my own extraterrestrial roots to uncover, and I think this will be the next part of my tale as I start to look into these large 2 to 3 mile craft that the Columbia and the Discovery have been filming that seem to be hyperdimensional craft that you can actually see right through. And they were, you know, shown in multitudes around the Tether experiment. And I drew it in my picture when I was 10 years old. And it is that very picture that keeps me somewhat, if you believe it, grounded in this story, because there was something there. There was a message being transmitted to me from somewhere that I then drew down and has taken me over 30 years to decipher. And I know that this last part of my puzzle, the last part of the Freeman story, is this extraterrestrial involvement. I hope somehow, some way, I am managing to bring this up. You know, either I have to go through some regressive hypnotherapy to try and bring up this story that's inside of me. I know it's there. I know that I have an extraterrestrial past in my youth, and I know that there is a lot more going on planet Earth than we are being told. So I will continue to bring these type of topics, understandings, and thoughts to you, try to give you another perspective on why things are going on, what is the purpose, and how it might unfold, so that when this does happen, now my goal has never been to stop it. I really don't believe I have that capability, but my hope is that our beliefs, our understanding of what happened will carry through as we move into this one world nation and as we move into the new world order. And that way, as we all understand how we got there, we might be able to move our way away from it. Stopping it, that's not my goal. My goal is to be here to show you that humans are not like this, that we are loving, caring, nurturing beings that are being duped over and over again, and that this full spectrum dominance that is coming our way is all a farce, is all a stage show, nothing more than acts of prestidigitation. So thank you very much for tuning in to Radio Freeman, this 1013, my third anniversary 1013 report. I hope to have many, many more. Look for me on perhaps a new radio show on American Freedom Underground. I'm still trying to decide whether I've got it in me to do a weekly radio show or a daily radio show. But hey, you know, I'm not one to turn down opportunities, and neither should you. So get out there, live, experience, know that the life is way beyond what is being programmed and projected into your brain. Get out there, see it for yourself, experience, and live. See you all next week.